This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Beseder. So, now with the Parsha Shir, if you take a look at the second handout. So, Parsha's Lech Lecha, we'll try and do three items on tonight. It's a bit ambitious, we'll see how we get on. But the first idea is something, is a beautiful idea I saw in the Meshech Chachma. Who is the Meshech Chachma? Just as by way of introduction, Rabbi Hartman never said a word from the Meshech Chachma. He always says the following story. The Meshech Chachma was Rameh Simcha, Hakoyin of Dvinsk. He wrote the Ar Samech, and he wrote, which is on the Rambam, and the Meshech Chachma is on Chumash. Now here, what Rabbi Hartman always mentions, we know that the wife of Rameh Simcha was Chaya. Oh, see, you know her name was Chaya. What was the name of the wife of the Vilna Gaon? What was the name of the wife of the Chofetz Chaim? Or the name of the wife of the Rambam? We don't know, right? But we know Rameh Simcha's wife was Chaya. Why? Because he told everyone. Yeah, through his writing, don't know. Why Chaya? Why did he tell everyone? So this is the story. He's 23 years old. He's an Ilu. He's very tall, the Meshech Chachma. He was known to be a budding Talmud Chacham. And he gets married. And after a few weeks of married life, his wife, Chaya, realizes that he's no ordinary guy. And she says to him that, listen, you've cut out for a special destiny. I'm prepared to manage the house and to take care of the finances, to run the shop, whatever they had. You go Motzei Shabbos, straight after Havdalah, you go to the Beis HaMedrash, you sit in the Ezra's Noshin, you sit and learn, and you come back Erev Shabbos. And I'm happy to accommodate that. And he was agreeable to it. And he went in as a 23-year-old budding Talmud Chacham, and he came out of that Ezra's Noshim, age 37, as one of the Gedolei Hador. So it was 14 years of intense... And he says the whole Zuchus was because of his wife Chaya. So I always mention that, often mention it, when we say a vat of the Meshech Chachma, because I think it gives a bit of background to this. Now, take a look. This is a very, very interesting insight that he makes. In this week's parasha, Avram Avinu is assured that he's going to have lots of brachas and he's going to get Eretz Yisrael for him and his descendants for all time. Take a look at the pasuk because there's something very interesting going on. The pasuk says, "VaHashem Omar El Avram, Sona Einecha Orei, lift up your eyes and see the land, Min Hamok Mashat Hashem, Tzafoyin VaNegba VaKedma VaYoma, all directions of Eretz Yisrael, Ki Eskol HaOretz Hashat Oroya L'cho Etneno." This entire land I'm going to give to you, ulezaracho, and to your children, adolam forever. Vesamti azaracho ka'afa ha'oretz, and I'm going to make your children as numerous as the dust of the earth, ashem yuchul ish limnois es afa ha'oretz gamzarachimone. That your children will be as impossible to count as the earth, the dust of the earth. Kum hisalich ba'oretz la'orko l'rochbo l'chkilecho etneno. Now, if you explore these psukim, you see two things going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham on two occasions that he's going to get the land, Pasuk Tesvav and Pasuk Yudzayin, but there are differences. In the first Pasuk, it's Lecha Etnena Ulezaracha. It's to you and to your descendants, but yet in Pasuk Yudzayin, it's just Ki Lecha Etnena. No mention of descendants. Second problem, in the first case, when it says I'm going to give you the land, it says, look at the land and see it, and then I'm going to give it to you. And then, in Pasuk Yudzayin, on the second occasion, it says, kum hishalich ba'aretz, go walk in the land. So why is it when the first instruction is to look, and the second instruction is to walk the land? So, the Meshech Chachma makes the following point. I saw this in Rabbi Bernstein's new sefer. Emmanuel Bernstein's got a lovely new sefer on Chumash and Bereishis and Shmos. And he brought, this is where I saw this Meshech Chachma. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that when Avraham Avinu walked the land, he was actually koiner it. That's a form of acquisition. If you think about it, it's a very interesting thing. How do you actually acquire something? So you know, if you want to acquire a food item from a store, there's mashicha, there's all different forms of kinyanim, all different types of acquisitions you can make. What about real estate? What about property? How do you acquire property? It's not a movable item that you can pick up, you can do hagbah, you can do mashicha, you can, all different types of kinyanim. So how does that work? So one of the ways is to display ownership, like a chazaka, you sort of display ownership of it, like a balabais displays ownership of his land. So you've bought it, but you actually live in it. And one of the ways you display ownership is by working the land or walking the perimeter of the land. So says the Gemara in Bava Basra in the second box there, Tesanya, Holach Bo La'Orcho L'Rochbo, if a person walked the breadth and the length of the land, Kona Mokam Hiluchai. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that walking the land is a way of being koneret. What's his source? Says the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, my time is Rabbi Eliezer, Dichsiv, Kum Hishalech Ba'aretz La'Orcho L'Rochbo Kilechoi Etnena. So you see that Avraham Avinu's very walking on the land was a form of acquisition of the land. Moreover, the Gemara says in Bav Metzia that something which is hefka, which is ownerless, by merely looking at it, that could constitute a form of acquisition. Now, that's Hakdama number one. Hakdama number two. There are two aspects to Eretz Yisrael. There is a physical aspect and there's a spiritual aspect. The physical aspect is that we live there, and that is, you dwell there as a nation. That is one aspect of Eretz Yisrael. The second aspect is a more spiritual one, which is only available to Klal Yisrael when we are living there. Now, given all of that, that's the intro to the Meshech Chochma. Let's take a look at the Meshech Chochma. Yitochin. It says possible. I'm the third box on the sheet. If you're listening online, please email me j.golk@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Yitochin. Ki habata behefka koine. The Gemara says in the end of Bava Metzia that looking at something is a way of acquiring something which is hefka. Kiven she'ein the koni lacherim, because it doesn't belong to anybody else, and therefore I can look at it and I can be koiner it. Vehine. Hazuchus shehoi leknanani, the zuchus that the Knanim had in Eretz Yisrael, hoyirak kinyan peiris. Kinyan peiris means I own the fruit of the tree, but not the tree itself, which means a temporary acquisition. So the Knanim were there on a temporary basis, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give it to Avraham Avinu and to Klal Yisrael. Ukamesh Pirish Rashi, Resh Pirishis, Vahaguf Ruchonis, but the actual guf of the land has a spiritual quality to it, Horis HaKadosha. Lohe Bezeh Kinyan Lashum Adam, and no one had yet acquired that spiritual capacity of the land. Lochein Omar, Shezeh Yikne, second paragraph, Beriya Bilvat. Therefore, Avraham Avinu, when he acquired the spiritual capacity of the land, he did that through looking, because no one had yet acquired it. It was hefka, as it were. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Sonoi Necho Re'ei, look, because that's how you're going to be koina, the spiritual connection of Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, which currently is hefka, and you will acquire it merely by looking. V'yiyeh lezara ad olam, and that is going to be for you forever. Even though the land may be physically overtaken, but that spiritual quality of the land is unique to Klal Yisrael. Because it's a kedusha which applies originally and for all time. However, for the physical, temporary acquisition of the land, which at the time it was given to the Knanim, I can't be koneh by looking at it because there's somebody else living there right now. It's not hefka currently. So therefore, you need to do an act of acquisition to actually walk the land and be koneh the physical land from the Knanim. But that's not going to be for your descendants forever. Because there have been times over history where we've lost Eretz Yisrael physically. We don't dwell in the land. We haven't been there the whole time. Unbelievable. That's why it says lecha. So in other words, what's the Meshech Chacham saying? He's saying, what are our two questions? Why is it that you've mentioned the descendants, the Zaracha, in the first pasuk, not the second? Why is it in the first pasuk it says to be koiner it by looking at it, and the second by walking it? The answer is there are two elements to Eretz Yisrael. There's the physical and the spiritual. There's the Gashmi, there's the Ruchni. The physical, you can't be koneh by looking because there's someone there now. It's not currently hefka. So there you've got to do a maisa kinyan of walking in the land. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, walk the land. Now that is just for you, because that is temporary. That's just for now, so long as you're actually in the land. But once your descendants are there, maybe they'll be thrown out of the land, someone will overtake it, they'll force them out. So therefore it says in the Pasuk, Ki lecho etnena. But the spiritual capacity of the land, that currently is Hefka, you can acquire that by merely looking at it. And therefore the Pasuk says, Sono Inecho, to see the whole land, because the spiritual, currently ownerless aspect of the land is there for the taking, and that's for you, Ulazarcha Adoilom, because that's only available to Klal Yisrael. So you see that with the concept of breaking up the physical and spiritual, the Meshech Chochm is able to explain the slight nuances in the Pasuk. Okay. Fine, let's move on. Avram is called Avram Ho'ivri. How many times in the whole Torah is Avram called Avram Ho'ivri? The answer is once. And in this week's parasha, when the four kings overpower the five kings, Vayovei Hapolit, this is the person who escapes from the battle zone, the refugee comes, Vayaged LaAvram Ho'ivri. And he comes and tells Avram Ho'ivri. Why is he called Avram Ho'ivri? So the Ksava Kabbalah brings the Medrash that there are three reasons why Avram is called Avram Ho'ivri. Bebereshis Rabba Issa, Sheshleisha Deus Batam Shem Ivri. Three reasons. Ha'alef, the first reason is, Shehu Shem Mishpacha Lios Mibnei Bonav Shem Eiver. He's a descendant of Eiver, and therefore Ivri is a family name. Habez, Shehu Shem Mekoimi. It's a location, it's a place. Liosa me Eve Hanar Shuhu Medab Beloshin Ivri. So it's Eve Hanar, he's from there. That's the second one. The Dash Lishis, in the third opinion, is Kol Ha'olam Kulam Eve Echad, Vehu Me Eve Echad. That the whole world is on one side and he's on the other side. That means theologically, conceptually, philosophically, in outlook in life, the whole world think one thing, and Avram Avinu is Me Eve Echad. Now, fine. So those are the three reasons why Avram is called Ho'ivri, either the family name, the location, or sort of ideologically. The difficulty is, why is he called Avram Ho'ivri here? Of all the times that Avram is called Avram, many times in this week's parasha, and even in the end of last week's parasha, why is he called Ho'ivri, dafka in this instance, when the refugee, the polit, comes and says, your nephew Lot has been captured by the four kings, quickly go save him. So, listen to this Ksav HaKabbalah. Look at the top of the next page. B'sham Mekoymos Lo Huzka Rak Shem Avram Levadoi. In all other places, it just says Avram. V'kan Sirif Gam Shem Yichus HaShu Ivri. But here, he's also told the Shem Yichus, the Shem Ivri. Why? Ki Rapm B'china Zu Hisayra HaPonit L'Hagid HaDova Elav. Because it's only through calling him HaIvri that will encourage, incentivize Avraham to go and save Lot. Why? Yosu Ivri. Shehis Eire lahachzik be'emunas achdus helukus hofach das amrofer shehu im nimroit. Listen to this. There's a lot going on here. There isn't time to explore it fully. But the Rashi Prakim. Avraham Avinu, we're all familiar with the story, right? He takes his father, Terach, is an idol worshipper. So he's got the shop. So one day, Avraham Avinu, as discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he takes the idols and he destroys them all apart from one. He takes the club, the baseball bat, and he puts it in the hand of one of the idols. Yeah, we're all familiar with this from primary school. And Terach comes back annoyed, fuming that his idols have been destroyed. Who did this? And little Avram says, it was that idol over there. Right? It's comical. So he says, what are you talking about? Yeah, he can't do that. Uh-huh. Doesn't that prove my point? So his father is so incensed, he takes him to Amrofel, he takes him to Nimrod, who throws him in the Kivshan Ha'ish. Imagine, his own father takes him to Nimrod, and Nimrod throws him in the Kivshan Ha'ish. Chazal tell us that Amrofel is Nimrod. Who is Amrofel? Amrofel is one of the four kings. They have just overpowered the five kings, and they've also taken Lot. This rescue mission to take back Lot is not just some a rescue mission for his nephew, but it's an ideological battle between Avram and Nimrod, between idolatry and monotheism, and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So what encouraged, well, why would Avram want to get involved? I mean, the Ksav of the Kabbalah says, if you carry on looking, Shesori lahachzik be'emunis achtus elukus hafachtaz amrofel min hamenatzch ben mechamazu Avram was not interested in battle. He wasn't particularly interested. No one else wanted to fight Nimrod. These four kings were very powerful. The only thing that would talk to Avram was that let's continue this ideological battle of Kivshan Oish. This is the battle of idolatry against the realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So therefore they said, Avram, you're Avram HaIvri. Aren't you the person who is on one side of the world and the whole world is on the other side? He's playing to his sort of theological, idealistic soul to say to him, you've got a responsibility to go and save Lot because this is a continuation of this ideological battle. Now, there's more to say on this Ksav Kabbalah. Please God, maybe another year to see how it fits into the Pesukim because there are other things going on over here. But I thought it was a fascinating Ksav Kabbalah. Why Dafka, Avram HaIvri, the one time he's called Ivri, is Dafka in this week's parasha, because, says the Ksav Kabbalah, that's what encourages Avram Avinu to go and save Lot, because it's more than just saving Lot. It's to do, it's sort of round two with Nimrod, who is Amraphel, to go and to battle with him ideologically. Okay, let's press on. Now, this idea I heard from a Moshe Hauer from America, who, in the name of Reb Tzadok, I found the Reb Tzadok, it's in Divrei Soferim, Ois Tezayin, a fascinating piece. We know Moshe Rabbeinu has two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. It's interesting to note, the only other Eliezer we know is Eliezer in this week's parasha. Eliezer Eved Avraham, this very enigmatic servant of Avraham Avinu. Now, take a look. Look at the second box in paragraph 3. Acha Advarim Ho'ile, which means after the battle of the four kings and the five kings, and Avraham Avinu goes and he saves Lot and he's victorious over the four kings. Hoya dva Hashem el Avraham b'machazel lemer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham. Al tira Avraham anuchi mogen lecha. I am mogen loch, I'm going to protect you. Schorcha harbe ma'od, you've got a huge amount of reward. Vayoma Avraham, Hashem elekim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matiten li. What can you give me already? Vanuchi holech ariri, I'm childless. And my only descendant, my only heir, as it were, right now, is Eliezer. Why did Avraham Avinu call his Eved Eliezer? Is he naming him? What was that? Why did he call him Eliezer? And moreover, why did Moshe Rabbeinu call his second son Eliezer? Was he naming him after Eliezer Eved Avraham? Now that would be a curious thing to do, because Rashi, in 2 weeks' time, in Parshas Chayesara, when this is Eliezer Seder in Parshas Chayesara, when he's sent to go find the shidduch for Yitzchak, do you remember the pasuk? It says, "Ulai lo selecho isha." And maybe the lady won't want to come back. So Rashi notes that the word "ulai" is spelt choser instead of aleph vav lamed yud. It's spelt am aleph lamed yud, which can read "elai," says Rashi famously. Eliksiv, Bas Hoysel Eliezer, that Eliezer had a daughter. And he was trying to find a pretext that maybe Avram will let his son Yitzchak marry Eliezer's own daughter. That was his hope. Omer Avram, Avram said it as it is. Beni Baruch Va'ata Oru, nothing doing. My son is blessed, your son is cursed. Ve'in Oru Medabik B'Baruch. Right, the shidduch is not compatible. So if Eliezer is Oror is cursed, it would seem unlikely that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to name his son Eliezer after an Eved who is cursed. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu name his son Eliezer? What is in this name? So let's take a look at this amazing Reb Tzadok. Says Reb Tzadok, bottom box, Ein liyuhudi lihisyayish mishum davar. The essence of a Jew is that he cannot and should not give up hope about anything. Yiyush. Yiyush means to be hopeless, to helpless and hopeless, to just give up hope. Ein liyuhudi lisyayish mishum davar. Bein b'inyoni haguf, whether it's a physical matter, k'mo she'omer, the Gemara says in Brochas, Daf Yudam Alef, afilu cheref chado al tzavor, even if a sharp sword is on a person's neck, al yimone mi'arachamin. A person should not give up hope from rachmanas, from mercy from Hashem. So he shouldn't give up hope in physical matters, bein binyoni hanefesh, or in spiritual matters. Afil nishtakeya lemokum shnishtakeya. Even if a person has stooped very low, v'chota bedova she'omru chazal, and he sinned in a situation about which chazal say, she'ein tshuva mo'yeles chas v'shal, that he's beyond hope and that tshuva doesn't work, oishe tshuvosu kosher, or tshuva is very difficult, oishe roya atzma mishtakev, v'holich binyoni olam hazeh, where he's just sort of slipping and sliding in the matters of this world, there's some sort of addiction, who knows what, al yisya'esh ba'atzmai, a person should not give up hope, lomar to say, shelo yuchel lifreshoit, that I can't pull myself away from this, ki ein yiyush klal etzel ish yehudi. There's no concept of yiyush, there should not be a concept of yiyush for a Jewish person. V'ashem yisbarach yochel lazer b'chol inyan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help however desperate the situation is. Now, he proves it. It's a longer piece, but I've just taken a few bits. For chol binyan umah Yisraelis, if you think about it, the very building, the creation of Klal Yisrael, hoya acha hayiyush hagomur d'Avram v'sora zakenim. Avram and Sarah was zakenim. He was 100. She was 90. At the end of this week's parasha, shelo ola al das odom oid laham inzeh. No one would believe they're going to yet have children. Yeah, a friend of mine told me once that they hired a rebbe to learn Chumash with his kid. The kid was 6 or 7 years old. And it was one of the first times they met, and my friend told me that he was listening from the door, just, you know, how the lesson was going. And he was teaching him this week's parasha. Oh no, sorry, it was the next week's parasha. And he wants to tell him the whole parasha about how Sarah was told that she's going to give birth, and Sarah laughed, and... So he says, before we start learning, he said to the six-year-old, he says, you know your bubba? Yeah, she's an older lady. She says, I just want to tell you that Miss Hashem, she's expecting a baby. And suddenly this kid burst out laughing, right? He thought it was so funny. And very good, okay, now let's learn Chumash. Yeah? And you know, to bring home the nace of what happened. I mean, we take it for granted. Avram and Sarah in their old age. Yeah, but he just brought it home a little bit. So Avram is 100 years old. She's 90 years old. The whole creation, the whole construction of Klal Yisrael came about at a point where it was almost beyond hope. V'chein ha-yeshua de la'osid, the ein bein David ba'at, shenis yashem la'gula, and that's how it's going to be in the future. We're going to feel at a point where it's beyond hope, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Samach Zainam al-Adaf. And that's when Moshiach is going to come, when we feel totally hopeless. Last paragraph. V'Avram Avinu Alav Hashalom, Reish Ha'umah, She'posach Dov Hazeh, he is the one who initiated, She'lo Lisyais Mishum Dovar, that he didn't give up from anything. He didn't feel this hopelessness. Dovar She'kesheh Nishba Loit, V'kva Nisyashu Kula Melahatzel. Loit had been captured. Everyone else had given up hope. I'm not going to fight the four kings. Forget it, we've lost him. Dal Kain Omar, Melech Sodom, Harachush Kach Lecha. The king of Sodom said to Avram, look, you take the prophet, we've given up hope. To Kvanis Yash, Bidei HaMelochim, all the other kings had given up hope of ever winning and getting their loot back. And yet, and therefore Avram Avinu was Koinerit. Avram Avinu Ozar Atzma im Sholosh Meitz Veshmone Asori Lidei Beisai, and he went with 300 men, Lirdoiv Acha Arba Melochim, to go after the four kings. With Nadarim, the Gemara says in Nadarim, the Flamed Beis, Dehu Begmatra Eliezer. Who are the 318 men? Of course, Eliezer is Gematria 318. Avram Avinu takes one servant, goes to four mighty kings who have just overpowered the five kings, and he's going to do battle when everyone else has given up. Etc. Avram Avinu represents the concept of 318. What's 318? The concept of I never ever give up. The gematria of Yiyush, says Reb Tzadok, is 317. Yud, Aleph, Vav, Shin. 317. Eliezer represents the ideology of the confidence over Yiyush, that 318 beats 317. That I never give up. You think things are impossible, things are beyond hope. That's when Klal Yisrael is created. That's when Klal Yisrael is saved. That's when the Gula comes in future. So Eliezer represents the concept that I never despair, and hope always overpowers hopelessness. And therefore, Avraham Avinu called his Eved Eliezer to represent this ideology that I never give up. Says the Medrash, says Reb Tzadok Amin, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu named his second son Eliezer, as the Pasuk says, you look at the first box, number 3, Moshe Rabbeinu has just been informed on to the authorities, to Paro. He's going to be killed. They take the executioner, the Medrash tells us, and they're going to cut his head off, and his neck turns to marble. He calls his second child Eliezer, ki elokei avi be'ezri, it was beyond hopeless. My neck was literally on the line. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves me. Eliezer, v'yatzleni me'cherev paro. He calls his kid Eliezer, not after Eliezer of Avraham, but for the same reason that Avraham Avinu named his eved Eliezer. Eliezer represents the battle of 318 over 317. The battle of hope over hopelessness, that we never despair, however desperate things seem to be. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu called his son Eliezer, to remember that message, and so too Avraham called his Eved Eliezer. Okay, so just to summarize the three ideas that we've discussed this evening. Number one is acquiring Eretz Yisrael, that beautiful Meshech Chochma. There are two aspects to Eretz Yisrael. There's the physical and the spiritual. The physical is temporary. And because there was a nation there, Canaan was in the land, therefore you needed actual physical acquisition. He had to walk the land. But that's only a physical, temporary acquisition whilst Klal Yisrael are there, and therefore it's kilechayet neno. But the spiritual acquisition, that was of yet hefka, and therefore you could look at, you'd be koiner it by looking at it, son na inecho re'ei, and therefore it's for you, ulazaracha, and for your children for all time. That's a special haftacha for Klal Yisrael, that we have the spiritual connection to Eretz Yisrael. The second idea, why is Dafka Avram called for Ivri? The one time in the Torah he's called Ivri is in this week's parasha. The answer is, as the Medrash says, there are three reasons, but the third reason is because it's ideological. That the whole world on one side, Avram thinks different. And therefore he's turning, his sort of imploring on the ideological motive to save Lot, to battle again with Nimrod, and to show that his ideology of idolatry is wrong. And then the third idea of why Moshe Rabbeinu named his second son Eliezer is not after Eliezer of Avraham, but it's for the same reason that Eliezer was called Eliezer. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Avraham, saved Moshe, and the principle of never giving up, and the principle of 318 over 317 of hope over hopelessness. Okay, wish you well. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.